Good morning, guys. So glad that you chose to join us this morning. And I hope that you're in a safe place and that you have a Bible with you. We're going to continue our series through the F260 plan. And today we're going to be looking at the book of Proverbs. But before we get into that, I just think it's important for us to remember on this Memorial Day weekend, the men and the women who've served and lost their lives. And even in this time, the men and women who are serving on the front lines, guys, we need to take time to pray and remember those who've lost their lives, those who are on the front lines of serving people every single day as we maybe are in our homes, keeping ourselves safe. They're putting themselves in harm's way every single day. And so would you join me on this weekend, and especially tomorrow, if you know somebody who has served and especially someone who has lost their life, would you just reach out to them tomorrow and thank them? We have friends, we have family, we have many, many people in our church, many, many people who need to be thanked and prayed for. Would you join me in praying for these men and women? God, thank you that we as a country have set aside a day and even a weekend to remember those who have lost their lives serving our country and serving to protect us. And even in these days, God, with this horrible pandemic that is all over the globe, and even in our country, we're out of sorts with what to do. But there are men and women who every day wake up and go do their job and serve us and keep us safe. And there have been men and women, Lord, who have lost their lives as a result of this pandemic. They have passed into eternity. And I pray, Lord, that you would comfort their families. I pray that they knew you. I pray that those who were lost were used by you to help others be mindful of the fragileness of life. God, would you give us grace this day to love those who are near and to care for those who are close, and to be grateful for those who serve us every day, and to be mindful of them. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. As I said, we're going to be journeying through our series today, Foundations, the F260 plan, we call it. I don't know if you guys took the time to buy one of these journals, but I did, and I hope you did as well. But yeah, I have the one here for Bible reading plan for busy teens. And all it is, it just tells me what I'm supposed to read that day. It has a little bit of commentary, but then it gives me an opportunity to journal. I don't know if you're like me or not. I assume maybe that you are. I tend to almost immediately forget everything that I read. And the last thing you need to do is be forgetting the Bible. And so what I have had a habit of doing for over 10 years now is every time I read a chunk of the Bible, I ask God, God, what is it that you want to share with me today? How can I understand your word? Because I'm not going to take a deep dive into the word. I just want to interact with you. And when I interact with the Bible every day, I want to hear from God. And when you hear from God, the last thing you want to do is forget it. No, you want to remember it. And it has really helped me to write things down. And it has also helped me to think about who would I want to share this with? Because we tend to remember better what we write down, and we tend to remember better when we think about someone else that we want to share this with. And so I journal for myself, but I also journal to interact with my family about what God is sharing with me, or my men's group, what God is sharing with me. And we go through this together. And I would just encourage you, guys, it is not how much you read the Bible that matters. It's how much the Word of God is transforming your life. And my prayer is that as you journey through the Bible with us in this 260 plan, and this week we went through the book of Proverbs, and I'm just going to show you how I do that. Last week, Mark did it, and he's, as you know, a deeper thinker than I am, and he has more profound thoughts and deeper insights. And so when he's reading the Bible, he's thinking about a lot more than I am, but I'm a pretty simple-minded guy. And I know that many of you are as well, because we're friends. And so when I read, I need God almost to jump off the page for me and to share something with me that I can write down and just an insight that maybe I could share with somebody else. And so rather than taking a deeper dive or learning from those who have studied, I want to help you know how you can just glean off the top the truths of God's word and begin to share that with your family and your friends as you interact with God. So let's just look together. On Monday, we looked at Proverbs chapter 1 and 2. And the commentary for that day said, Proverbs begins by stating the purpose of the book is to provide wisdom and insight for how to live as a child of God, something that we all need. And at its core, wisdom is skill in living life according to God's ways. When I was a child, my dad used to read the proverb of the day to us almost every single day. There are 31 proverbs, and so the proverb of the day is just the proverb that coincides with that particular day. So the day's the 24th. Today's proverb would be Proverbs 24. And I used to be so frustrated with him because often he would read it during mealtime. And so the food would be hot, and then he would read the whole proverb, and so the food would get cold, and then sometimes he would do the prayer, and his prayers were generally really long. But my brother and sister and I would almost always resent the reading of that proverb. But you know, now that I'm a grandfather myself and I have children, I still remember those words. And as I was a child, my brother and my sister, my dad could just begin a proverb and we would finish it out. And still, even today, I can hear him reading God's words and that wisdom when I'm in a life situation. And Proverbs gives us skill to live according to God's word. Look at this verse. It's one of the verses that we're supposed to be memorizing this week from Proverbs. It's Proverbs 1, verse 7. It says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and discipline." And by the time you get to chapter 9 in Proverbs, it says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we need to understand, what does it mean to fear the Lord? Oh, on the one hand, when we think about fear, we think about, I'm afraid. And certainly we should be afraid of God, especially if we're walking contrary to his ways. But he has lovingly revealed the gospel to us through his son, and so we can have a relationship with him. And so the fear of the Lord, I think, is best defined as being aware of God's presence all of the time and living according to that awareness. Do you realize right now you're in the presence of the Lord? David said, "Where can I go from your presence, God?" And the answer was nowhere. We are always in the presence of God. And whenever we fear the Lord, we live according to that reality in our life. I sometimes would say that we tend to fear our friends more than we fear the Lord because we let their presence determine our behavior. We sometimes fear our parents more than we fear the Lord because we let their presence determine our behavior. Well, wouldn't it be great if we learn the wisdom of Proverbs and learn to fear the Lord, that we are always in his presence, and we began to be mindful of the wisdom that he has given us? Listen to this, what it says in Proverbs. It says this, "Wisdom," chapter 2, "will rescue me from the way of evil. It will rescue me from a person who says perverse things. It will rescue me from those who abandon the right path. It will rescue me from those who enjoy evil and celebrate perversion. And it will rescue me from the wayward woman." Guys, we need to learn to fear the Lord and walk in his ways. Well, then on Tuesday, we got into Proverbs 3 and 4, one of the other memory verses. And in fact, if you know maybe any verse in the book of Proverbs, you maybe memorized Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And that's the key verse for this particular section. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. But most of us don't know verse 7. And you know what follows after verse 5 and 6 is verse 7. Listen what this says. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Do you remember the book of Job? God said about Job, there was no one like him in all of the earth. And here's what God said about him. He fears the Lord and he turns away from evil. And when we fear the Lord, in fact, we will turn away from evil. Whenever we realize that God's eye is on us and he is watching us, that is when we make the right choice. But look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 with me again. Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. Isn't it crazy that the person that we tend to trust the most is ourselves? And isn't it almost ridiculous? What do you know? What do I know? I'm a grandfather now, and yes, I know more than my grandchildren or my children, but I have very limited knowledge and very limited wisdom. And when I trust in the Lord, I'm actually trusting in all of his knowledge and all of his wisdom. And when I know his word, I can actually lean into that. Why would I lean into myself? That's why I always want to know, well, what does God say about it? What does God think about it? I don't want my lean to be on my understanding. And haven't you even noticed it, even in COVID? Isn't it crazy? We've all become experts on how this disease goes, or whether we're going to get it, or whether we shouldn't get it, or who should open, or how should we open, or where should we go, or who has the right perspective, or who has the wrong perspective. What do you, well, I'll just do me. What do I actually know? Almost nothing. And think about everything that God knows. And I just want to say something right now to children. You're going to see over and over in Proverbs that not only is it bad to lean on your own understanding, and that's even true of parents, but it's especially bad for you children to not lean on the wisdom of your parents. In chapter 1, and chapter 2, and chapter 3, and chapter 4, and chapter 5, and chapter 6, and chapter 7, it says, my son, listen to a father's instruction. Listen to the mother's counsel, and it will go well with you. Don't be that fool who disregards the authority that God has placed in your life and lean on your own self and your own heart, and your own desires, because that way will lead bad. Proverbs 14:12 says this, there is a way that seems right to a person, but the end of that way is death. It's repeated in Proverbs 16:25. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but that road leads to destruction. So don't follow your own way. That would be the path of a fool. Well, then on Wednesday, we got to Proverbs 16, 17, and 18. And I love that little section because almost every single verse would be a verse that you could memorize, and actually you would have wisdom about that particular thing. You would have insight on what God says about those many, many, many subjects. It's almost like verse after verse after verse. And I wanted to talk just about this one verse that I think is really important. And it's in chapter 18, verse 21. Listen to what it says. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue,
and those who love it will eat its fruit. I can't tell you how many verses there are in the book of Proverbs that talk about our words, what we say, how we say it, when we say it, who we say it to. Maybe to be silent. So many proverbs. And I've just come up with a list of questions that I need to ask myself so that I can be sure and be speaking words of life. Far too many times my words have cut and hurt. Far too few times my words have encouraged and strengthened. And I want to be the kind of person, don't you, who speaks words of life, who gives encouragement, who brings healing. And the first question I need to ask is, what should I say? Proverbs 12:18 says, there is one who just speaks rashly, like someone plunging with a sword. But the mouth of the wise person brings healing. The second question I need to ask is, how should I say it? And this is particularly true for those of you who are married and for those of you who have kids, because the way that we say things often matters more than what we say. How should I say it? Well, listen to this proverb. Proverbs 16:24 says this, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. I think of Proverbs 15:1, it says, a gentle answer turns away wrath. So if you're about to get into conflict, just answer gently. Speak with pleasant words. Another question we should always ask is this true? There's a proverb that says, only a fool speaks on a matter before he examines both sides. And until you hear both sides of an argument, you shouldn't speak with authority into it. And even then, you should see that there's angles to all of the things that people are saying. But the proverb says over and over and over again, let your words be true. Let a witness be truthful. One of the seven abominations to the Lord that is included in the book of Proverbs is a lying tongue. Another one is someone who speaks with deceit or a false witness. Guys, let the words of our mouth be true, that they would bring healing and truth. Another question that we should ask is, when should I say it? Is this the best time? One of my favorite proverbs is Proverbs 25:11. It says this, like apples of gold in settings of silver is one word spoken at the right time. Can you envision that? Guys, think about an apple of gold. Do you watch Gold Rush? I do. It's one of my favorite shows. Maybe when you're binge watching, you can go ahead and watch a little bit of Gold Rush. It's about these guys in the modern day who are looking for gold. And they're sifting through it to find gold dust. Literally, if they find a nugget, a huge nugget would be like that. And I'm talking about an apple, and even a crab apple is big. But apples of gold in settings of silver. One word spoken at the right time. Don't you want to be the kind of person who speaks those kind of words? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The fifth question is it better just not to be said? Proverbs says, in a barrage of words, sin is unavoidable. I like Proverbs 17:28. It says, even a fool is considered wise when he keeps his mouth shut.
You want to be perceived as the wisest person in the room? Listen more, talk less. And then finally, the question about our words is, who should I speak it to? There's a very strong proverb in Proverbs 27:6 that says this: wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. And whenever someone who loves you is speaking truth to you, even though it's hurtful, what this proverb is saying is you can trust that. You need to listen to that. But when someone is just speaking words of flattery to you or praising you when you haven't really done anything, don't listen to that. They're just multiplying kisses. But also, you need to be careful with who you rebuke, because there needs to be a foundation of relational love before you speak those kind of words into people's lives, so they can find help and healing because of the trust of that relationship. So guys, be careful with what you say. That's what Proverbs says. And then we got to, on Thursday, Proverbs 31. We've all heard about the Proverbs 31 woman. And I want to turn in Proverbs because it's a very unique proverb, in fact. And it's actually written not by Solomon, the guy that we've been reading about, King Solomon. This is the words of King Lemuel, and it's actually not his words. It's a pronouncement that his mother taught him. And so his mother is trying to tell him, what kind of woman should you go after? This is the kind of woman that you want. And it says in verse 10, who can find a wife of noble character? Her value is far above precious jewels. I remember when I was talking to my parents about my wife before she was my wife. That's why I was talking to my parents about her, because I was wondering, should she be my wife? And I said to my dad, I'll never forget, he's so wise because he reads Proverbs every day. I said, Dad, how do you know when you're in love? And he said, boy, you're never going to do any better than Pam. Now, if you listen, that really wasn't the answer to the question, but it was the right answer, because I was still a foolish young man and just wondering, would there be a way that I ever could do better? My dad knew. My wife was a noble woman of excellent character, and that I would do well to find her. I'm glad she didn't have maybe a similar conversation with her parents, because they might have told her something completely different, like, run away! But God has given me an excellent wife. But guys, I want you to notice, as you read down through this proverb, and I hope you did, verse 30 and 31 says this: charm is deceitful and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord, you remember from the beginning to the end, a woman who fears the Lord, she will be praised. Give her the reward of her labor, and let her works praise her at the city gates. Guys, this is not just about a godly wife. It's not just about a virtuous mother or a godly woman who fears the Lord. This is about a godly leader. This is about a woman who is having an impact not only on her family, but also on her community, not only in the relationships that are close to her, but also into those that are beyond her. She's a businesswoman. She's a woman of excellence. She's a woman who knows how to teach. She's a woman who is very diverse in all that she does. She's a leading woman. And I love it that we have these kind of women, not only in our church as wives,
but in leadership. We have women on our director team. We have women who serve this church as deacons, leading in different areas of ministry. We have so many women who lead out in our worship service and lead out in our community, lead out in our Bible studies, lead out in our connection groups, lead out in our outreach. Guys, God has blessed us with women who fear the Lord, who their internal beauty makes them more and more beautiful as time goes on. Rather than letting their beauty be fleeting because of that external things that they focus on, it actually flourishes because their love is the Lord and their fear is Him. And they become women who speak with insight and wisdom. And I love what this proverb says. Let them be rewarded, and they will be for all eternity. And let their works praise them in the city gates. Let them be women of reputation. And I'm grateful for those women who are among us. But we didn't just get to be in Proverbs this week. We got back to Kings. 1 Kings 11 and 12, did you read that? Yeah, I did too. And this is about the guy who wrote Proverbs. Who, you remember at the beginning of his life, he was afraid because he knew he didn't have what it took to be the leader of God's people. And so his prayer to God was to get wisdom. And since he didn't ask for wealth, God said, not only am I going to pour out wisdom on you, but I'm also going to pour out everything else. And it says in Proverbs so many times to fear the Lord and turn away from evil and avoid the sensual desires of the flesh. But Solomon got caught up in himself, didn't he? He started leaning on his own understanding, didn't he? He started seeing that he had what he thought he needed. He took his eyes off the Lord and he started focusing on something else. And this Friday's readings was all about Solomon's downfall. It said that Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Is that nuts? He had absolute authority as a king, and so he did whatever he wanted. He did what he thought. He forgot about the fear of the Lord. Your Bible says that he was deeply in love with 1,000 women. I put, no way. That's what I put. But it also says that they turned his heart away from God. No, Solomon turned his heart away from God, following these women whose heart was never for God. And Solomon did just as God had told him not to do. And he even built temples for these other gods. And he sacrificed to them. And I just want to say, guys, wisdom doesn't always come with age. Sometimes you can be the wisest you've ever been as a young person because you're closest to the Lord. Wisdom comes with knowing God. Wisdom comes with being close to Him, speaking for Him, caring about Him. Wisdom comes with the fear of the Lord. And if you're an old man who no longer fears God, you're no longer a wise man, you're a fool. But if you're a young man who fears the Lord, turns from evil and obeys Him, you will have understanding and you will have wisdom. Because wisdom comes from fearing the Lord and turning away from evil. Let your life be marked by wisdom. Let your life be marked by God's word. Let's be the kind of men and women who don't just read our Bibles every day and then immediately forget what it says. Let's be the kind of men and women who read our Bibles and write down the insights and discuss it with one another, so that we can hold each other accountable to fearing the Lord and caring about what matters. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truths of your word that convict us, that draw us away from ourselves and close to you. Would you enable us by your Spirit, Holy Spirit, help us to walk in accordance to your word? Would you bring back to our mind those scriptures that we know? Would you refresh our souls with the truth of your word? And Lord, during these difficult times, this time of distancing, would it not be a time of distancing from you? Would it be a time to draw close to you and your word? Enable us by your Spirit to be men and women who fear God and turn away from evil. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.